Our study is going to take place in Matthew. Matthew 4, 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Why did this have to happen? You know, when you see how God did things, sometimes you wonder, why did Jesus have to be tempted? Do you know that there's people that believe that Jesus was not really tempted? That even though that all of this was offered to him, he really couldn't take it. That he wasn't really given free choice. That he had to serve God. That he didn't really was all in the flesh. That when he walked, that there was no footprints that were left behind. And that when he was crucified on that tree, that he really wasn't crucified in the flesh. Does that make any sense at all to you? That someone who came to save you, to understand you, and to be tempted, that they weren't really tempted? That kind of sounds like stuff that goes on today. You know, politicians that make promises that they're going to do this, and they get up there and they don't do nothing. That's not the God that we serve. Jesus was tempted for a reason, and there's multiple reasons that he was tempted. But one of the reasons why he was tempted is so that he could relate to us. I think the answer to this study is not quite exactly at the end. It's a little closer, close to the end, but the answer will be shown, why this. But Jesus was actually tempted. You know, if you're given a hamburger and your mouth is wired shut, that's not really being tempted, is it? Because you can't really eat that hamburger. Your mouth's wired shut. You can't put it physically in your mouth. Jesus' mouth was not wired shut. When he was given that hamburger, he was given the choice whether to eat it or not eat it. So make no mistake, when Jesus was tempted, that he was actually tempted. Go to Matthew 4, 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, 40 days and 40 nights is symbolic. If anybody went 40 days without food or water, they would certainly die. What this is showing us is that this brought Jesus to a place of need that only his Father could supply. That's what the 40 days and 40 nights is to show us, is that in this state where Jesus had put himself, that only his Father could take care of his needs for life in this. Just the physical wasn't going to do it. You don't fight Satan with the physical. You fight against him in the flesh, but he's not physical that you could pull a knife on him. He's not physical that you could shoot him. And that's why this idea of tanks and bombs and stuff being the Armageddon that the world is looking for against the devil is ridiculous. You're not going to shoot him with bullets from an Apache helicopter. It's not going to happen. You know, it rained on Noah 40 days and 40 nights. How did Noah survive? God provided a way. Because, you know, most people would think 40 days and 40 nights, that's when he was on the ark. But he was on the ark much longer than that. God had to supply his need. God provided a way. Why? Because God asked him to go through this trial. No, God is not going to put you in a place to set you up for failure. The devil will. The devil's going to make you think that you're big enough to mouth off to anybody. And one day you're going to find out you're not. God won't put you in that place. The only people that will put you in that place is you listening to the devil. He wants you to be in that place because he wants you to fail. God doesn't want you to fail. God will provide the way. Judgment came upon the ancient world, and Christ had to redeem them. That's one of the reasons that he was tempted in the flesh, is because Jesus had to overcome that flesh to redeem those who lived in the flesh but trusted in God for redemption. That's one of the reasons why he had to do this. When judgment came upon the ancient world with Noah, it was Christ that got Noah through that. It was Christ's blood that God went back and saw and allowed them to pass through that. It wasn't Noah that did this. It was Christ. 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was on the mount. How did he survive? God provided the way. Corinthians tells us that no temptation has come upon you such as common to man, but God will provide a way out of that temptation. Now, sometimes the way out of that temptation is repentance. Sometimes you get yourself too immersed into a sin and you simply have to repent because you can't get out of that. You know, people that abuse substance and get behind the wheel of a car and kill someone, they're going to go to jail. And because you repent and become a Christian, or you tell God that you're sorry and you were a Christian, and you repent of that deed, they don't open the jail cell for you. But God will provide the way. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and God provided a way for him to come out of that. Matthew 4:3-4. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Esau, for the sake of a bowl of soup, sold his birthright. He said he was famished. He said, "Give me something to eat or I'm going to die." You ever been so hungry that you come home and you eat for like 10 minutes, anything you can find, and you don't even realize what you're doing? You're just shoving food because you are so hungry. You can relate to Jesus when he said, when the devil came to him and said, "If you're really the Son of God, then you just command these stones to become bread. If you're really hungry, just go out and buy whatever you want for breakfast. You've got the money, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Just go do what you want to do." But how would God understand what this meant? Jesus came in the flesh and he understood what it meant to be hungry. And he understood at what lengths you were willing to go to secure food. But the one thing that Jesus didn't do was give up his relationship with the Father for the sake of food. And when Esau did that, he understood what kind of heart that Esau had. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about the blessings. He didn't care about anything except himself right then and there. He only thought in the present. So we can understand how Jesus would have been so hungry here. But how did God understand? Because he was tempted the way that we're tempted. Now he understands what it means to be hungry and how we would feel when we were put in that place. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, it wasn't that God didn't give him the power to command these stones to be turned into food. That wasn't the problem. The problem is what he would have had to have done to get what he wanted. He would have had to submit to Satan. And he said, "It is better that I live by the bread of heaven than it is to live by your bread." Jesus, the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And how did he overcome Satan? He could have done it any way that he chose, because he was the Son of God. When he was about ready to be crucified, he said, "Don't you know that I could have prayed to my Father that he send 10 legions of angels to protect me?" He could have done it any way that he chose. But he did it in a way that we could do it. By the power of the Holy Spirit and Scripture. You see, we're not given the authority to call on the Father to send 10 legions of angels to protect us and do that for us. But because of what Christ did, and he was able to do that, Christ gives us that ability. And I'm not saying we have the ability to call the legions of angels. What I'm saying is all the promises that were afforded to Christ, He did it in a way that we could do it, and He offers those things to us. He says, you sit on my Father's throne. You sit on my throne. You overcome and you sit on my throne. This is because of what Jesus did for us. When Jesus was tempted by the tempter, by the devil, He was in the flesh, and He did it, overcame in such a way that we can do it. Are we not in the flesh? Do we not get hungry? Do we not have the Holy Spirit of God? Do we not have Scripture? Jesus could have done anything that He wanted, but He did it in a way that we could do it. Now, I ask you, how hard is that to do? To deny yourself for the sake of God, to fast and pray and do these sort of things, to rely on Scripture and God to sustain you, to get you through a situation when you have a better way. How hard is that? It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's pretty hard to not do it the way you want to do it and let it happen the way God wants it to happen. That's the hard part. But Jesus showed us that it is possible to do it that way. And by doing it that way, we overcome Satan. Our greatest need will appear to be clothing, food, and etc. So much of our life is lived, and our greatest need, we think, is the driveway being fixed. The car breaks down. We got to get that car fixed. The insurance has gone up. We got to find a cheaper place to get insurance. We're overweight. We got to go on a diet. All of our greatest needs, we feel like, is things like food and clothing and our housing and our money. But Jesus showed us that our greatest need exceeded that. As a Christian, our greatest need will always be our communion with Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. We forget that. We walk around, we sashay around, we got all this other stuff that we're busy doing. And our greatest need to get through temptation is our relationship with the Lord through Scripture. And we're just so concerned about everything else because all of our efforts go into all these other things. How much effort do we put into what? Remember, we're talking about effort here. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness by Satan. How much effort did He put into salvation? How much effort did He put in overcoming the devil? I don't know how much effort you put in. But Jesus is showing us that the effort that we put in through Scripture, through this way, through doing it His way, that God provided a way and to do it His way, that's how we overcome Satan. Not by being busy and keeping our mind from sinning, not from being busy and keeping ourselves good people. Satan slips in the craziest of ways. He slipped in this way to tempt Jesus with food. Are you on guard when it comes to your food? Do you realize what you're giving up, what you're doing when it comes to getting food? This is how Satan came against Jesus. Through food. Matthew 4, 5 through 7. Then the devil took him up to into the holy city, setting on the pinnacle of the temple. Sorry, gosh. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Look what he did here. Do you see what Satan just did here? We talked about something simple as food. Can you trust the Word of God? Satan used the Word of God against Jesus. Satan used the word that Jesus spoke in the beginning against him. How foolish do you have to be to think that you can use God's words against him or against his people? So Satan turned around and he says, it is written, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You know the AI that we have, the artificial intelligence through, you know, Alexa and Siri and all this kind of stuff? When you really get down to paying attention to this artificial intelligence we have, it's a hack. It really is. This stuff that we have that we think is so great, it's silly. They don't listen. They don't have any intelligence. They don't do anything. And the simplest of things that you think you would ask them to do, common sense would come into play. What you ask and the answer that they're given, it's ridiculous. The companies have sold us something that is juvenile. They can do much better than this, much better than the technology that we have. They don't worry about that. They're learning. Artificial intelligence should learn how we are and the questions that we ask and the things that we do. They should learn who we are and how we react. Satan did. Jesus came against him with Scripture. Satan thought he could come against him with one of the most basic needs of life, food. And Jesus come back with Scripture. So Satan said, okay, I'll come with you with Scripture. You're right. The Son of God has authority and has power. Now, God has given you that power, and He says that you could throw yourself off of this tall building and you won't even strike your foot against a stone. He says, I'll use Scripture against you. But again, the issue here was not the food, was not throwing himself down. It was what he had to do to accomplish what he wanted. He says it here again. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He would have had to give in to Satan. He would have to accept that Satan and did something that Satan did that he would not do, and that is tempt God. Our greatest temptation will never be what the devil brings to us. This is kind of the answer I was talking about to the study here. Our greatest temptation is not what the devil brings to us. Did you know that? You would think it would be, but it's not. It's what we bring to God expecting that He will grant to us. That's our greatest temptation. It's what we expect from God. Because Satan is going to dig that out of you. He's going to find out what it is that you want out of life, what it is that you expect from God, and he's going to try to root it out of you and find out, and he's going to offer that to you, and he's going to make you want to do the simplest of things just to say, okay, I'll accept it. You see, in being a Christian, we think that every sin is forgivable. And so we think that we would rather do this and then beg for mercy later. What a terrible mindset to have when it comes to God. But Jesus was tempted by Satan, and what Satan brought to him was what he was trying. Satan was trying to figure out, what do you want from God? Do you know that when Jesus was put on that tree and he was before Pontius Pilate, that most people, when they're put in that situation, they will barter for their life. They'll ask, please don't do this. What do you want from me? I'll give you anything. Jesus didn't do that because what he wanted, man couldn't give. What he wanted, Satan couldn't give. Jesus wanted to do one thing, serve his Father in the face of any problem. And when you're that type of person, when Satan comes against you, he's going to bring all these things, but that's not what you want. What you want is to serve God. Satan couldn't offer Jesus anything because in order for Jesus to accept it, he had to turn away from his Father. And he wasn't willing to do that. But Satan knows you. And he's going to watch you and he's going to dig around in your life and he's going to find out what it's going to take for you to give up on God and take what he's offering. Our greatest temptation will not be what the devil brings to us, but what we were expecting from God. Because what we set our mind to, that we will pursue. Jesus had a mindset when he went into that wilderness, when he was tempted by Satan, that he was going to serve God at all costs. And he followed that all the way through to the garden. At all costs, he was going to serve his Father. Is that our mindset? When we're that hungry, when we're that tired, or we're in that much of need, is that what our mindset is? Be careful, because this is how Satan tempted Jesus. And you think this is simply, oh gosh, I mean, it was just a bowl of soup. It was just food. It was just a promise that God made that He was going to protect me. I just called upon that promise. Matthew 4:8-10, again the devil took him up on the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He tried everything else. He tempted him with Scripture, he tempted him with food, and finally he showed him everything the world had to offer. Everything. All the riches, all the glory, all the majesty, all that the world had to offer. Satan knew when he had tempted Jesus, he tempted him with one of the first things that he tempted Eve with. If you go back and look, it said that she saw that fruit, that it was good for food, and that it was something that would make one wise. And so she desired that. That's how he started off with Jesus. Same way he started off with Eve. Why? Because it worked in the flesh before. Of course, she wasn't flesh before that, but I'm saying that temptation worked for her. But that didn't work. So then he used the Word of God because Jesus used the Word of God to fight against Satan. So he turned around and used the Word of God. He said, okay, it's also written that God would not do this to you. He wouldn't let you strike your foot against a stone. So he realizes that his time is being short right here, because he's offered things to Jesus and Jesus has overcome them that man is not. So he knows his time is getting short. He knows that Jesus is strong. He didn't think he was at first, because he offered him bread. Just bread. He thought that was going to give Jesus to give up on God. So he realizes his time is short. So he takes him up to all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I'll give to you if you just fall down and worship me. This is an act of desperation right here. He says, I'll let you have all this if you'll just fall down and worship me. He said, look at all that the world has to offer. And you know, when you wake up every morning and you turn on the TV and you get on your phone and you look through Amazon and you look out your window and you're driving down the road, you're looking on that menu. Do you know we also have an opportunity for all that the world has to offer? And now more than any time in our entire life, it's right at our fingertips, anything we want. You know why people are on the phone all the time? Because there's so much to do. There's banking, there's passwords, there's keeping in contact with your friends, there's checking your emails. It's like reading the paper is what it's doing. It's like watching TV all rolled up into one. If you take the time that people used to spend reading the newspaper with their coffee and their cigarettes in the morning and then watching TV later in the day, and you roll that all into your phone, look at all the stuff that you're doing. All that the world has to offer right at our fingertips. This is how Satan tempts us. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have phones. That's ridiculous. That doesn't teach you anything. Jesus overcame these things. He didn't deny himself these things. He overcame these things because he didn't want these things. He wanted a relationship with God. Jesus answered him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. See, he said, get away from me, Satan. You know why? Because Satan wasn't going to try to do anything. He wasn't trying to give him anything. All he was trying to do was to get him to turn away from God. He says, away with you. I'm not going to do that. I will worship my God in the face of anything. Get away from me. And Satan knew the only way to take care of Jesus in his mind was to kill him. He tried to get him to fall, and that didn't work. And now he's trying to kill him. And He was successful in that. But what Satan didn't plan on was that God's plan was that Jesus would die in service to him to overcome Satan. And Satan realized he'd been a fool the whole time. Nothing held the splendor like beholding the Father. Satan offered this whole world to him, but Jesus knew that there was nothing like the splendor of the Father. Is that what we think? Or is that nice new car, that nice new house, or that whatever it is, that job, whatever it is that we would do that would take us away from the glory of the Father? Do we think that nothing is like the splendor of beholding the Father? We should. We have to realize how Satan is coming against us. We have to realize how Satan is tempting us. Remember, he tempted Jesus with food, with bread. If he thought he could trick Jesus that easily, what do you think he's doing in your life? He has no morals. The fact that you are the son of the king, he doesn't care. He is brazen enough to get in your face and laugh at God knowing that his time is short. He has no morals. He will do whatever it takes to bring you down. And it doesn't matter who he has to use. And we think that because someone is close to us, because something seems shiny and new, because something is bright and beautiful, that Satan is not using this, that Satan is not behind this. Jesus was tempted with bread. Jesus also knew that all of this is temporary. Do we? See, the reason that Jesus didn't give up his relationship with the Father to receive all the kingdoms of the world is because he knew that that was temporary. That God's kingdom was going to overtake all of these. That all of this stuff was going to be brought into God's kingdom. It was going to be laid at his feet. That's why the temptation didn't work on Jesus, because he knew that this was only temporary. Do you realize the things that you spend your time with and the things that you're fighting for? A lot of it is only temporary. Now, some of it we have to do. I'm not taking away from that. But what I'm saying is that do we really realize that what's being offered to us is only temporary? When PlayStation come out with the PlayStation 2, that was incredible. Because the PlayStation was an awesome machine. Okay, now if you were on the Xbox side, you had the Xbox and then you had the Xbox 360. But what I'm saying is that when PlayStation come out with the PlayStation 2, they thought, wow, what could PlayStation 2 do that PlayStation couldn't? I bet it's going to be awesome. Well, now we're what, on PlayStation 5? How awesome would that be, right? Until PlayStation 6 comes out. It's all temporary. Now, let me ask you something. Go back to PlayStation 2. Would you be happy with that? You're never going to be happy with anything, bless you. You're never going to be happy with anything other than God's best. That's what He's reserved for you, is His best. You're never going to be happy for anything but God's best. Jesus knew that all this was temporary, and we should too. Matthew 4:11. This is the part that we miss in all of this. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. God didn't leave him alone. God provided a way. Jesus was faithful, and God came to him. Do you see that? The devil left him. You know why the devil left him? Because he couldn't move him. You know why really the devil left him? He was scared of him. He made Eve fall. He made Adam fall. He made Cain kill Abel. He made Moses strike the rock. Moses strike the rock. He made Sarah laugh at God when she was, 80, 70, 80, whatever age she was, and he told her she was going to have a baby. He made her laugh, thinking that, that's impossible. But when he came to Jesus and he couldn't get Jesus to give in, he got scared. And he left. Don't think that the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Scripture that you hold in your hands, that when you are tempted by God, that this does not scare the devil. He tells us in Peter, I think, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you look up that word, and it means to run in terror. These are the things the devil used to cause creation to fall. Physical need and a desire to live. You're going to be pushed into the corner because the devil is not going to leave you alone. Not ever. Your commitment to God has to be absolute. His commitment to you was, his commitment to the Father was, he went to the tree and died. And he could have easily backed out at any time. Satan told him a promise that God had made to him. And Jesus said, I won't take that promise. I'll give it to the people that serve me, that see the Father through me. I'll give it to them, but I won't take that promise. Jesus had to see these things as a man. This was one of the reasons. Remember in the beginning, I said that the answer was sort of done up here when it says what the devil brings to us is what we expect God to give us. But when it said, why was this necessary for Jesus to be tempted? Jesus had to see these things as a man. Do you understand that? It was a man, he had to gaze upon these temptations and defeat them as we would. God had to become a man to gaze upon the temptations and to see how he was going to overcome them and how he was going to offer you the power to overcome them. You're acting like God. You've been given the power that God has been given to overcome Satan. Jesus could have done it any way, and he did it this way, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by Scripture. And that is the power that we're given. And Jesus had to gaze upon these temptations as a man. And so if he gazed upon these temptations and overcome them, so can you. It has to be by our free will. God is not going to make you do anything. You have to want this. You know, when you play those video games, when you play those video games, that you can make a living doing that now? There are people. I remember one time someone told me, it was in the Modern War games. I don't know what they're on now, but anyway, they get together and there's a group of men that get together like they were really going through the jungle or something, and they're different parts of the world, and they're talking to each other on these headsets, and they're going through, and they got a leader, and people go back and forth and all this. It's just like a real experience. And somebody told me one time, it was like, these are elite fighting men. And I said, dude, it's a video game. It's a video game. But do you know what? They were, in that game, their abilities and what they were doing, they were elite. You know why? Because they put all their time and effort into it. How much do you want to overcome Satan and see God? That's the temptation. It's not the bread. Not the kingdoms of the world. Satan is trying to find out, how much do you want to serve God? Is it worth your life? Is it worth some of your happiness? Is it worth some pain in your life? How much do you want to serve God? That's the temptation. And he knows you. I'm telling you. He knows what it takes to get you to second guess that commitment that you've made to God. And Jesus said, I'm not going to overcome temptation because I'm God. I'm going to overcome temptation because I want to serve God. And I want to give these people that serve me because of these words the same ability. That's how much he loved you. He's not telling you that you're going to do it some way. You're not going to call down fire from heaven. He's going to do it because you stood firm. And even if it costs your life, he's going to give it back to you. He couldn't just say that I am the Son of God, so I declare. Jesus had to prove it. He had to prove His commitment to God. He couldn't say, I am your son. What's going on here? Why are you letting this happen? He had to prove His commitment to God. And once He had done that, Jesus started His ministry and heaven and earth started to shift. The powers that Satan had started to crumble because he had proven his commitment to God. You have to prove yours. You have to prove yours. He couldn't just declare it. And so the struggle that we have as a church is when we are tempted, do we know Scripture to fight off the devil? That's our first thing we got to realize. Do we know Scripture to fight off the devil? If not, then we're not putting time into reading the Word of God. If we don't know Scripture to fight off the devil, we're putting ourselves at risk. Do you care? Or are we simply relying on the fact that we're Christians? Well, I'm a son of God and He says that He's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry about anything. But you know what? Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say that I'm the Son of God. I declare, get away from me, Satan. How dare you come against me? That's not what He did. And that's not what we do. That's a real danger for Christians. Because if you listen to them talk, people who claim to be Christians, they think that everything's okay because they're a Christian. No, you've got to keep your sword sharp. You've got to keep your shield ready. You've got to be ready to go into battle when it comes at you. And believe me, it is coming at you. You don't think that it happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost when he stood up? You don't think he was in a fight for his life? He was standing in front of people that had just killed the Son of God, and he's going to stand up and tell them that he is the Messiah and that they killed him. He stepped right into that fight. He was ready. And he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?